Yeah, very good. I just saw an interesting story. I just saw in a weekly thing from Rabbi Adon. It says, Reb Shalom Shvadon said, it's just something to think about. Apparently, it's not a joke. Apparently, it's a true story. Reb Shalom Shvadon says that he went once to the Kosel. He went once to the Kosel on Shabbos. Reb Shalom Shvadon occasionally used to go to the Kosel on Shabbos. And so he saw that there was one person that didn't seem particularly fum. And he went to Kosel and he put put a little note in the Kosel. And he was you could see that he was very serious about it and very sincere, very... you could see it was very important for him. And you could see that and he was there for a few minutes, eventually left. So Reb Shalom Shvadon understood, well, this must be a pikuach nefesh question, and you could see how this, he must be really that. It happens to be that this, the little note of this gentleman fell on the floor. So Reb Shalom Shvadon, Reb Shalom Shvadon said that he couldn't hold himself back and he wanted to put it back. But as it back, the letters that were written in it was actually very legible, and he could read what it said on that note that was put in the Kosel on Shabbos Kodesh, which he assumes obviously Pekuach Nefesh. He obviously said that, you know, perhaps I can also daven a few, maybe I can also daven a bit for this great need. And he read what it said on the note. On the note, it said nothing but it said that, please, Hashem, make this and this team, this football team, win today. So Shalom Shadon said it's a true story, I believe. But besides that, what he brought in that context, that's the context that he brought it, is that on Rosh Hashanah, as we are davening to the Baruch Shalom, it's of utmost importance that we actually use those days and those tefillahs for things which are genuinely important, and not things that are equivalent of football games, but things that we really, really should care about, and really should be important for us, and not to waste it cholila for unimportant things. I thought of sharing that with you. We're up to Simon Tov Kuf Yud Beis. Continuing on the theme that we've been discussing thus far, we have learned about the issa of cooking for a goy on Yom Tov, and we've also discussed the issa of hazman of inviting goyim on Yom Tov. Now, very much following this theme, Siv Beis teaches us the following: Bnei Achayil, which are soldiers, Bnei Achayil, soldiers, Shelkusim of Goyim. You've got Goyish soldiers, Shenosnu Kemach Shalem LeYisrael, which gave flour, their flour, to Yidin LeYisrael, therefore is Loim Pas. There was I don't know if it was a law, it was just common practice, that when soldiers used to be in certain areas, part of the arrangements was that you support the army and you support the soldiers. How do you do that? That they would have flour, but they wouldn't cook. The soldiers would have their bags of flour, which I don't know where they got it from, but they had flour, and if they come and knock on your door, you then bake it for them. That was as a matter of gesture of... it's probably more than just a gesture of... gratitude is probably a bit beyond that. I don't know if it was mamash or low, but that's the expectation was that you bake for them what they need. Now the question is, if they knock on the door on a Tuesday, that's not a problem. You can bake them their bread; it's not a problem. But if they knock on the door on Yom Tov, what happens then? So the halacha is: The question is, can you bake for them on Yom Tov? This is their flour, but it is Yom Tov. So the halacha is: Bnei Achayil shel Kusim shenosnu kemach shelahem. These goyim who gave you their flour, left us to bake lohem pas, to bake bread for them. Im einu makpidim, if they don't care, kshesol noisim emenu letino, if they genuinely don't care, if it gives a little bit of that bread to their babies, mutar lef us lohem, you're allowed to bake for them. So, assuming that you can break off a little bit of that bread and give it to your baby, then it's to your child, then it's okay. What's the background? Mishnah Berurah says, Sefkot Yud Gimel, Noisem Mimenu Letinoik, you give it to your baby, Yesh Me'achonim Shekosos HaMachonim, right? To Lo Yishori, it's only permitted, Elohim Ke Noisem Mamash Lechol, you actively and properly must give some bread to your child. Veloy alidein, it's not sufficient, the fact that you could yochelit and that you could give. The potentiality, the fact that he doesn't care, that he wouldn't care, the fact that you give, that's not sufficient. You must physically break off some bread and give it to your child. Why is it okay to do that? Why is it only okay to bake for a goy? Why is it only okay? Because you make it for a child. Mishnah Berurah Sif Kot Yud Dalet. Mutar Lefois. Shareim Lo Yefek Kol HaPas. Since if you wouldn't bake the whole bread, Lo Yuchaliten, you wouldn't be able to give Letinoik to your child. Ach Pas Af Pas Echot. You can't bake such a minute amount. Vimkain, therefore, Nechsheves Kol HaFyom. Since it's not realistic to bake such a minute amount, so therefore, the entire baking is considered Bishvil Pazet Shenois Latinoik. So the entire baking is justified because of the baby's portion. Vekiven, and since Shenu Muchet, it's not designated Ezo Pas Yitno Latinoik, since it's not designated which bread you actually give to the baby. Matzino Lememo, we could say, I'll call Echot Echot on every loaf, on every bun, on every little bread, we concern each individually. Zeu, sheet nenu letinuk, that's what I'm going to give to my baby. So the point is, you're allowed to bake since some of it goes to a child. Is that a straightforward heta or not? Why?
Because in other cases.
What are you referring to?
Inviting guests. Is there contradictory?
Why? We're not allowed to invite. And send if they.
Them.
Send them. Sending him is fine. So. What are your thoughts?
Child is eating,
so therefore,
that's why it's
mutter. So you're saying that, like, is it lechatchilo b'diavet? Is it the kind of heter you can?
It seems a bit of a sort of a haram. I don't know if haram is the right word here, but kind of haram.
Because ultimately, you're doing it for the goy. What do you say?
Yeah, okay.
Haram. I'm not sure. I'll tell you what the Mishnah Berurah said. I'll tell you what I'm thinking. Mishnah Berurah says, if cotton as well, which is the bottom line of this page, I'm betaz, see the taz, shekoza writes, and listen to chalkulazu, you're not allowed to rely on this leniency, tenesinas pas, latin achas. You're not allowed to rely on this leniency of giving one piece of bread, elo only b'chigoyin zeh, in such an instance, shehu shasrach, that it is a shasrach. This is very obviously not an ideal situation, because talking about army, soldiers, goyim, you don't want to get on their wrong side. You just don't want to start. So therefore, there is that leniency that you have to do a bit of. Now, he says only b'shas adchak. Now the question is, why is it only permitted in shas adchak? Are you allowed to cook? And that extra potato for the goy. You're baking for, you're cooking for your own family, adding an extra potato for the goy. You're allowed to do that. Not if it's
explicitly for him.
Not if it's explicitly for him.
Unless it's going to improve your own cooking, like we saw before
about right.
Tunnel money. And I'm not really doing it for him, I'm doing it for my own benefit.
Which you would apply here as well, because talking about baking. But Tanurim Shalonu, we take don't say that. No, so you're right, it's b'diavet. It is b'diavet because you're not allowed to add an extra potato for the goy. So over here it's permitted b'shas adchak. Okay, now Siv Gimel goes on to the next subject. which is also page 260. Osu levashe velefois. You're not allowed to bake and cook, or rather cook and bake. Letzoyrech, for the sake, for the purpose of klovim, of dogs. You're not allowed to cook for dogs on Yom Tov. Why? I think we touched on it. Exactly. Because it says lochem, for yourselves, you have to cook for yourselves, as long as it's Eichel Nefesh, for yourselves, v'loy leklovim, which excludes dogs. Even if whether it is yours or not. Oh, you mean the dog or the food?
Dog.
Makes no difference. Well, it does make a difference, because the Shulchan Aruch continues and says, but you're allowed to carry some food and bring it before them. You're allowed to feed the animals, but you're not allowed to cook for them. Now the Mishnah Berurah actually in Sefkot and Tezayin point addresses your question, and it says, "Letzorich klovim, afilu klovim, even dogs, even dogs whose food you are responsible for, you've got to see to it that the fact that they are eating. Mikolchkin klovim shall evka, even more so, random dogs, stray wild dogs." Not only dogs. Then similarly also, shab eima chayav oif, any other animals. Also, lasa shum melocha avuram. You're not to do any melocha for them. The kol lochem, because the pasuk says lochem, memait excludes oif de gilulim, mebehema excludes goyim, uvehema animals. So you are allowed to bring foods to put in front of the goyim on yom, to put in front of the dogs, but you're not allowed to cook and bake for your dogs. Continues the Shulchan Aruch, Lerama, Havol also loitzi b'shvilon, merushus l'rushus, you're not allowed to carry in a public domain for the dogs. Why is that a chiddush? Because we're talking about Yom Tov, we're not talking about Shabbos. We're talking about Yom Tov, you're not allowed to carry, what's dog food? Dog food? What's that nice dog food?
Pedigree
what? You're not allowed to carry it from one rishus to another rishus on Yom Tov. Which, by the way, here is a chiddush. Because, why is it chiddush? Because we have learned so far, what we have learned so far, is that really on Otzon Yom Tov is permitted. So here we're coming across, we're going to talk about that in greater detail in later Simon, but we're coming across already a very big chiddush, that yes, Otzon Yom Tov is permitted, but here we're coming across a scenario, in a halacha, that yes, you're allowed to carry, if it's for yourself or for your dog, you're not allowed to carry. Mershus l'reshus. You're not allowed to take dog food, cat food, and bring it from one domain to the other. On Yom Tov, which is an important halacha, which we're going to refocus on another time. Also,
it's bishvulam reshus l'reshus. That's not only food, carrying anything.
Yes, the bone. What else?
Whatever.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, absolutely correct. Okay. Now the Mishnah goes even a step further than that, and he said, when we normally say you're not allowed to carry from one rishus to another rishus, we're generally referring to rishus, or vice versa. Absolutely, which are all the domains. You're not allowed to carry for the dog his food from a public domain to a private domain, or vice versa. What about kamelis, which is only a dabanon? I would have thought that it's a double drabonon, perhaps you're allowed to. But the Ma'aseh Mishnah Berurah says, even on in a kamelis, you wouldn't be allowed to. Sifkot Nutez, Moshe Zoshus, and Afidu Lohitzim, Moshe Zoshus, the kamelis. You wouldn't be allowed to carry the bone for your cat. No, the bone for your bones?
Dog.
For the dog, yeah. You wouldn't be allowed to carry the bone for your dog from Moshe Yachid to a kamelis even. So that's an important yesod, which we are going to discuss again in Mitzchem in its right time. V'chein also legabel amus and oifos. You simply don't have to mix the. You're not allowed to mix the food, the bran for the chickens. You're not allowed to do that either. V'chein for the birds. V'chein akim al adishin, only if you're doing it in a different manner. Mutal haribos b'shvil haklovim bos hakedera shemashu b'latzma. What you are allowed to do is you're allowed to increase more food for the. If you're cooking yourself a nice cholent, and your cat really, really like, or your dog loves the cholent as well, you're allowed to add a bit for the dog. That you'd be allowed to. You have ready some food for the dog, but you want to treat him with some better food on Yom Tov, you are allowed to add potatoes for the cooking, which is going to, specifically for the dog, you're allowed to do that. So whilst we said before, 5 minutes ago, we said that we only allow this very scenario when it comes to the B'Shas Adchak, yeah, when we spoke about the Goy, for the army, we said it's only B'Shas Adchak Mutar. Here we're learning, not only B'Shas Adchak is Mutar, but for the animals, you're also allowed to do that. Add extra food, which is going to end up, for the Goy is permitted, for the animal is permitted too. Lechatchila, are you allowed to do this Lechatchila?
Yeah,
yeah, so it looks like it's not even that sound, yeah.
It's the same drosha of Lachem that excludes Behema. So why are we more makeable by...
By an animal than by a soldier?
Yeah.
Yeah, good question.
Same drosha.
Yeah, absolutely. So we've got a very good question over here. I'm not sure what the answer is. Rabbi Teba asked the following question. You're not allowed to add potatoes to the soldier. We're only allowed it because of Shas Adchak, because we're scared. He's holding his gun. And his sword in his hand, and therefore B'Shas Adchak we are lenient. You're not going to start with soldiers. Don't start with them. If he's bringing his flour and he asks you to cook for it, you're allowed to add extra for your child. That's what we're saying. We're picking for your child as well. Therefore, you're allowed to do B'Shas Adchak. It's permitted. The question is that when it comes to the dog, even if the dog has got extra food, you're allowed to add extra food, which is going to specifically, which we know is going to end up by the dog. Why? Why is the, let's call it the adding of the extra potato. Let's call it like that. Why are you allowed to add an extra potato for your dog? And you are not allowed to add an extra potato for the soldier. Only because it's Shas Adchak we're allowing it. So would good, I hear that, because in many places we do see Tzar Baal Chaim. Would Tzar Baal Chaim apply in an instance in which there's all the food? We're learning, even if it's got all the food, you're allowed to do that.
Maybe
because Mizonos is Savalov. No. I think it's a valid question. I think the answer is based on what you said before. Because here, genuinely, you are doing it for the sake of the animal, and therefore you're allowed to. In the case of the Bnei Chayil, of the soldiers, it's not, your baby doesn't really need anything. It's an Ahuma case. Really, you are baking and cooking for the soldier. Purely for the soldier. We want to allow it, so we're saying you can add a bit for the child. So it's Ahuma instance, and that's why the Ahuma element is only allowed because it's Shasad, is we're allowing for Shasad Chag. Say there is no Shasad Chag at all. You wouldn't be allowed to do that. Because but if your child would really need it, if your child really would need, you would be allowed to do it. If your child does need, and you're allowed to do it for the Bnei Chal, without Shas Adchak. I think that might be true, actually. Yeah, okay, very good. That's that. Now, the Mishnah Berurah says, it's of gotten chavalet b'shvil haklovim for the dogs, v'adin shabayim v'chaya, even any other animals, even if your responsibility is not on the animals. So whether it's your animal, a neighbor's animal, any animal, you're allowed to... Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Starting with Simon Tov Kuf Yud Gimel, just have a bit of a head start. Din Beitza Shenol de Yom Tov, a Beitza which was laid on Yom Tov. Beitza Shenol de Yom Tov, a egg which was laid on Yom Tov. Also, you're not allowed to lick up or to touch it. Literally means you're not allowed to touch an egg which was laid on Yom Tov. Hainu letaltul abot. The Ramah says it doesn't mean to touch. It really means to move it. You're not allowed to move a egg which was laid on Yom Tov because it's mukta. The kolchken even more so l'shel ochlin, you're allowed to eat. You wouldn't be allowed to eat this freshly laid egg. And if you got mixed up, even amongst 1,000, kulan asos, they're all also. So here we go. We've got the first halacha is that an egg which was laid on Yom Tov is mukta. And secondly, we're learning that if it does, if it did get, if you, you're not allowed to touch it, and if you if it got mixed up, then it's also even if it's amongst the thousand. Now this halacha we'll discuss in greater detail tomorrow, Mitzvah. Just to summarize what we learned tonight, we learned the soldiers which have come to town, you would be allowed to bake for them if you can bake some for your child. If as long as they don't care, you're giving some to your child. If he is makbid, by the way, you wouldn't be allowed to do that. We learned also that you're not allowed to bake and cook for the dogs. That's also part of the exclusion of lachem. You're allowed to carry food and give it in front of the animals. However, if it is carrying carrying, you wouldn't be allowed to carry on Yom Tov for the animals. To add extra food for the dogs, you'd be allowed to. And this is even so if the animal has got alternative food. That's it for this evening. I wish you a very good evening, and we'll carry on tomorrow.